This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast. This podcast is brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM.com. They're the coolest hockey shirts you're going to find online. They're all about the Avalanche and some of our favorite players, including Dutchie, Everberg, Pix, Eric Johnson, Nathan MacKinnon, and of course you, the ABSFAM, our favorite. So we're feeling pretty lucky today because we got a really good friend and somebody who knows their hockey on to talk a little hockey with us and pick a couple things we should keep an eye on tonight for the game. AJ Haefeli is a writer for BSN and all-around good dude, and he is going to give us a little insight into some prospects that we should see tonight and also go down memory lane with us a little bit and talk about some of the past abs and some of the moments that you can't forget. So without further ado, the legendary, the powerful AJ Haefeli. Cool, man. So tell me about it. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
I'm curious to see what Boston looks like, honestly, because, you know, they are 0-3 coming into the game, and they're one of the teams that hasn't won a game yet. And there's that aspect of desperation. You know, you have to assume that they're going to come in and they're going to be really, we've got to get a win here. We've got to get a win, you know, because you start going too long without a win and things get a little intense. So I'm real curious to see what they're going to look like. It's going to be my first live viewing of David Pastrnak, who was their 2014 first round draft pick. And I'm really, really curious to see what he looks like in person, because I think he's got big time talent, and I'm really curious to see what he looks like.
You're going to be in the stadium tonight?
I work the game tonight, so that's I'll be up in the press box, my usual perch.
So what has you so curious about this guy? I don't really know the story.
He was a first round pick. He was drafted a couple of spots after the Avalanche drafted Connor Bleakley. And he made the NHL really, really, really quickly. And he's, so far this season in their couple of games, he's been one of their lone bright spots. They've been putting him on a line with David Krejci, you know, who missed most of last year with an injury and is one of their better players. So I'm really excited to sit down and see kind of one of hockey's next big young stars, and especially because this Bruins team it's not very good. You know, Marchand's not going to be in there, which will be good for us, because as much as I like watching him play against other teams, I can't stand when he plays against anybody that I ever root for. So
anytime he ever plays in a game thing in a big way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's just one of those guys. So I can totally appreciate him when he's playing against like Detroit or Vancouver or Minnesota, somebody like that causing trouble. But any games against the Islanders, they're Avalanche, and I'm just like, that guy.
I didn't know you had an Islanders thing going on.
I do. It's been a couple of years now. I like them quite a bit. They're kind of my home away from home team, my second love in the NHL. So
that's cool, man. There's nothing wrong with that for sure.
Yeah. It's just an adopted team. So
is there a player in the league, either now or previously, who's retired who you didn't hate when they were playing the Avalanche and killing them? I can think of one guy, but I'm curious to hear yours.
My favorite hockey player non-Patrick Waugh category is Pavel Bure.
Oh, that's a good one, I have to say.
So, yeah, he is my number one. He started my big love that I have of Russian hockey players. It's Pavel Bure, and this is kind of blasphemy given the relationship, but Sergei Fedorov also was the other one. Those two guys, I loved watching them play growing up. Fedorov, Pavel Bure, and Valery Kamensky, those guys were just like, So you can imagine how excited I am that the Avalanche have started acquiring Russians left and right.
If they'd ever get in the lineup, right? Well, that's not fair. So one guy's not in the lineup.
It's yeah, what's up with that? Zadorov looks awesome so far. You know, he's very up and down. He looks like he's 20 years old, but I'm really excited about him. It's hard knowing that I have to be patient because the best is yet to come with him. But yeah, you see it every game. There's one or two moments where you can just see it. It's there where you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to be a star.
He is. He's like a tough puppy, but he's going to be a mean dog when he gets bigger and just a little bit more control on his game.
That's a great way to put that.
Yeah, for sure. So I have to tell you who mine is, by the way. The one person who, even if they were playing the Avs, I appreciated the hell out of, and that's Datsyuk. God, that guy is good. Like, that, unbelievable talent. And I remember for a while when they first started the shootouts, he had this move where goalies wouldn't even be in the crease anymore by the time he was done with them. He just had them flying across the ice. That was amazing. I don't care who you're playing. That was awesome hockey.
Yeah, the Datsuk. Yeah, I remember Matt Duchene did it at the Burgundy and White game a couple years ago, that where he kind of fakes to the forehand and then he pulls it back on his backhand and the goalie just goes sliding out of the way.
I can watch it 100 times, and I don't even know what it is. I just know it's amazing. Like, I wish I could do it. Every now and then when I go skate, like in the morning, do a puck and shoot, I pretend like I'm going to try it, and it just falls apart. I hit the dots, I get towards the net, and I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, it's impressive stuff. I mean, he's just one of those guys that just – You wonder how in the world that guy got drafted in like the sixth round or whatever it was, because puck handling like that is just unbelievable. How do you miss the ability to dangle like that when you're scouting, you know?
Yeah, that gives me hope for our later round picks too. But so far we haven't really seen anything major come out since, I'd say, Hey Duke, and I think he was third round.
I mean, we've gotten a lot of grinders. David Jones was an eighth or ninth round pick, and you know, that guy scored 20 goals for a couple of different years in the NHL. It's pretty impressive for a guy drafted that late. But in terms of like a Datsukian type of contribution, no, the Avalanche haven't had anything like that out of the later rounds.
So let's talk Hey Duke for a minute. I saw that he's going to be inducted into the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame, something like that.
And if he is, I totally missed that. That's awesome.
He is. It was all over Twitter, so it has to be true.
That. Right. Perfect.
I'm pretty sure it's true, but for me, it's like I read it and like it was cool, but at the same time, it was a slap in the face. I'm like, this is crap, man. He should totally have his number retired. And I know not everybody thinks that, and you don't have to agree with me. Not required, but
no, you have to agree. Anybody that thinks that his number shouldn't be retired is just wrong.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter got with me quickly, and they're like, "Look, Boschman's not wearing his usual number, so it's going to happen." I'm like, "Just make it happen, then, right?" There's not anyone I can think of who needs to be retired after that for quite a while, but I think that he's earned it. I think he's one of those rare guys who was nothing but class the whole time that he was with our organization, and he was with us his entire NHL career. I think I'm right on that.
Yeah, and he's the Avalanche record holder for a bunch of things for them. Just the Avalanche, not the Quebec Colorado combined, but just in Colorado, he's the guy.
He is. He could do.
Nobody has worn that sweater more times than he has. So.
Yeah, and the way that it ended, I mean, honestly, I feel like he wanted to play more, and they just kind of said, "Hey, sorry, buddy," but you know. Every career comes to an end.
Yeah, he just didn't quite have it anymore, and the team had to move on, and it was tough stuff.
Even in that moment, though, he was nothing but class. And that's really where it kind of sealed it for me. Like, I've loved him as a player. I think he's a super classy guy. Not so good with the English, but that's kind of cool in a way, too. But just the way that went down where, you know, he was just super cool about it and classy. He didn't go out there and trash talk anyone. And it's not quite how I wanted to see him end it. I prefer everyone end their whole career like Adam Foote did and take 20 penalties in like 3 seconds and not get a call. That was
brilliant. Oh, it was great. It was great. I was in the arena for both of their final games, and they were both tough to sit through. Watching Hey Duke pick up the puck right after the last faceoff with like a second left, it was tough. Like, that was, you know, you knew in that moment, you knew coming in, it was really, really, really likely, but having watched him pick that puck up, it was just like, that was it. That was
those are the cool moments, though, right? That and when Waugh handed the cup over to Bork, things like that. These are like the little seconds that like are lasting memories, even though you watch hours and hours and hours of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the little things that you remember. I mean, you Milan Hayduk, you can't talk about his career without remembering. He was such a shy and quiet, you know, shy away from the spotlight guy, and then he scores that goal and he dives on the ice and he starts swimming like a fish, and it was like, what is this? Who is
that? Was fantastic, but so unexpected.
Yeah, like it was just not a Hey Duke thing to do, and you know, that's what made it so cool when he did it.
I agree. So I remember when Gusev swallowed his tongue. That was scary as hell. Oh, they like went out there with like a corkscrew thing and had to like break his jaw open, not break, but like really pry in there and pull his tongue out. I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm a hockey player anymore. This is a bad idea.
I was pretty young for that, but I remember asking my dad what the hell was going on and him being like, hey.
So there's been
don't see that.
There's been plenty of blood, right? Like, we've seen blood between us and Detroit. I mean, like, literally blood and, you know,
oh, yeah,
cuts and things like that. But the Gusev thing, and then also when Sakic got his Achilles cut by a skate, those are the two that made me really question, why do I play rec league hockey? Maybe it's not cool if you don't get paid for it.
I don't remember that. I don't remember the skate.
Yeah, man, he took a skate and it went right over the back guard of his skate, and it cut into his Achilles, and he was out for a bit. I really don't think I made this up, but if I did, I'm sure somebody's going to let me know.
The only one of those that I remember was when Matt Cook did it to Erik Karlsson a couple years ago.
I remember that too, and that's like I remembered straight back to the Sakic one after that. So
I'm
almost certain I didn't make this up, but if I did, you got to give me a free pass because I'm a little bit insane sometimes.
So, I mean, I don't have a, you know, an encyclopedic knowledge of the Avalanche or anything. There were a couple years there where, you know, life happened and I wasn't able to be quite as on top of them as I should have been. So
I got you. All right, man. So let's wrap this up with a couple quick questions. First of all, what's up with Dutchie, man? Is he going to get the scoring going? What is that offense?
That's the big guy that I'm real curious about from the Avalanche. I talked about David Pastrnak because I love prospects and young players and blah, blah, blah. But Duchesne is, he's got to figure it out.
It seems like every year is like this, though, right? He rarely ever, he's not like consistently good or bad through the entire year. And when he's good, he's really good. But I'm curious too, man. I feel like the whole team's clicking, but I want him to start scoring.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to complain too much because, you know, the third line with Soderberg and Rantanen and Rendulich hasn't really given much of anything. And, you know, Duchesne's line, Iginla has given things, but not when he's been on that line. It's been when he was on the power play with the first unit, and he doesn't play with Duchesne or Como on that unit. So it's going to be interesting to see how much longer that trio sticks together. I like Como with Duchesne. I think they work really well together and they complement each other nicely. I'd really like to see Rantanen and Iginla.
Interesting.
And Tange, kind of those three guys kind of swap places a little bit there.
So Iggy is getting it done early in the season for him, right? I wasn't ready for all this. I figured maybe in a couple weeks to a month he'd start scoring, but he's on top of it.
The whole notion that Iginla was a slow starter was one of those things that people started saying last year, and then people said it enough that other people started believing it without actually looking into it. Okay. And I sat down and actually I like looked into it one time, and it turns out the only two times he's really had really slow starts in terms of goal scoring in his career were last year and 2 years ago.
God and damn then, Peter McNabb, he did it to me again. I believed him.
Yeah, well, there was 1 year, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, he had like 17 goals on December 1st.
Okay, that's respectable.
And I'm like, whoa, like 17. Like he didn't get to 17 till probably like January or February of last year before he blew up in the last month of the season.
That's crazy. I can't believe I got Peter McNabb again. He's such a good spin artist, man. We can be losing the game like 5-2, and he's talking about all the high points. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's a character. I'd never actually met him in person until this preseason when he and I we sat down and we talked to him hockey for about an hour and a half, and he's really something.
I don't think people all know that, but he's a big dude.
Well, he is, and he's such a smart hockey mind, which is why it's so frustrating when you listen to him on Altitude, because you know that's state-run media essentially. And he's always upbeat and he's always positive, no matter what.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he keeps his job that way too, though, so I get it.
Yeah, definitely. But then, like, you actually, like, I had the chance to actually, like, sit and talk with the guy, and it was totally different. He was a completely different guy when he's just sitting and, you know, oh, hey, you know, we're just gonna talk about hockey.
I think he could do that all day, whether he got paid for it or not. So that's cool.
The guy's a total junkie.
Did you go to the open practice in the jersey unveil?
No, I did not. I was sick that day, so
I made it there, and I'm not even a season ticket holder. That's how tricky I can be. But it was a really good time, man. It was kind of cool because we're sitting there and I'm watching it, and at the beginning nobody had the jersey, and by the time I left, like, one in every 10 people had the brand new jersey on. They went down and bought it while we were watching and came back up in it. I don't know why, but I found that to be a cool little moment.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's some diehards out there, man. I'm telling you, I guess I'm one of them, but there's people who are even more diehard than me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of years now where I more or less, you know, live and breathe with the team on a day-to-day basis, and that's, and now, you know, now it's my full-time job, so it's, that's been pretty cool.
Full-time job, man. How cool is that? You're already living the dream. You got this.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a process, you know, blah, 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 all those cliches that I'm going to throw at you, but it's definitely really, really interesting to go from the kind of situation that I was in where I was just going to practice for fun and I was covering the team because it was just something I liked to what I am now, you know, where somebody's like, hey, we're going to pay you to continue to do this. And then, you know, they put me in a press box and they gave me a credential and they said, all right, now you get to go talk to the coach and players.
That's awesome. I didn't even realize I was talking to a big time guy now. I thought we were just
chatting about hockey, man. Wow. No, I'm still nobody, but you know.
Okay. If you become somebody, tell me though, I'll treat you different. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't handle attention very well. So
yeah, me neither. I have secret lives. Yep. All right, man. So we kind of transitioned well into this next part though, which really I just wanted to kind of update on all the things you're doing and where people can find you so they can check your stuff out. Cause I really like it and I think everyone else does too.
You know, I write for BSN Denver, bsndenver.com, BSN Avalanche, either one of those, you can get to any of the stuff that we're doing. You know, we cover the team in my opinion, we cover the team just about as well as anybody else out there. We're getting a little better every day. That's where you can find us. We do lots of different things over there. We talk about a lot of different things. We're looking to start, some coverage of more than just the Avalanche and the Rampage. But you know, potentially the new women's league that's starting up.
Oh, you jumped ship on me. I was gonna ask you a tough question later, but you jumped ship on me. You know about women's hockey. Okay.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But let's do it right now then. Do you know who Nider is?
Do I know who is?
Nider. That's her nickname. She's basically the face of women's hockey, US women's hockey.
Are you talking about Hillary Knight?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Then yes, I do.
I don't know what you win, but you just won it. That's awesome. She's a good hockey player, but she's also kind of the Ronda Rousey of women's hockey, where she's not bad to look at, which always helps. We can't lie on that one. I know you're going to run from this conversation as fast as
I am.
Anyway, it's not such a bad thing. I mean, I think that she is legit 100% with her skills and all that. And she's a great face of it. And she's a great ambassador. And she has her own brand and things. And I've been studying up on her a little bit. And I'm totally impressed.
She's great. Yeah. And that league is, if that league ever really gets the support that it deserves, that could really be a great league. So
I hope it does. I really do.
It's, you know, they're doing a lot of things that they need to be doing right. They're offering games. I believe you can watch them. They're free streams. And so you don't have to, you know, they just need to grow the brand before they really start asking people to invest a lot of cash into it. And I'm excited to watch and to kind of get into it a little bit. It's a huge thing for women's hockey, and they deserve it, and they're phenomenal players, and I'm ready to get into it. I hope it certainly turns out as successful as the WNBA has, which even if it's not your cup of tea, you can't argue that it's not been a pretty you know, rousing success.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm hoping I can find a way to support it because I really do like it and I want to support it. But I've also been doing some things with, I didn't know much about sled hockey, but it's a real thing.
Oh, and sled hockey's awesome.
You know about some sled hockey? Because I've been talking to this girl a little bit on Twitter. Last year I supported her to buy some gear or something like that for her Olympic trials. And they have some games coming up I'm thinking about going to. I had no idea sled hockey was like as legit as it is. But when you watch these people play, so good.
It's so cool to watch. I can't say that I could speak overly intelligently about sled hockey, but I can't tell you I've watched it and it's really cool and more people should watch it and get into it because it's
cool. And it's not like they don't hit each other. I mean, they absolutely do. And they're going top shelf with these like little sticks that have spikes on the other end. And it's just, it's truly amazing. These are absolutely athletes. And so, yeah, like that. And like the women's hockey, I'm always trying to find a way to kind of support people who play hockey for the love of it or do something for the love of it related to hockey.
Absolutely.
Wow. We went all over the place on this one.
Yeah. Right, it was fun.
Last one, man. Tell me, who's going to win tonight?
You
have to be popular, if you just be honest.
I think Boston does. I think the desperation probably wins out, but I think Boston does, but I think it's a big game.
All right, I'm going to go the other way because I'm always going to say the Avs. I'm not as cool as just like the honesty and stuff. I'm just a diehard. So, all right, man. After this game, I will check in with you and we'll see who has bragging rights.
All right, man.
Awesome. Thanks for getting on. How dare he? No, I'm kidding. That's exactly what I want to hear. I want people to be honest. And I see where he's coming from. Boston has lost 3 in a row, I believe. They're going to come in hungry, right? But I always have to pick my Avs. So when the Avs win, we'll just come back and say, hey, man, it's cool. Let's try it again next time. This was brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM, the coolest hockey shirts you're ever going to wear. It's not logo wear, it's fan wear to the highest degree. Check them out for sure, ABSFAM.com. Stay awesome.